It's International Women's Day. A look at the status of women around the world coming up. Good Thursday morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we are always live at 9. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And just ahead, Christian Keene of Jacksonville's own Rethreaded on International Women's Day. And we want your thoughts, too. Give us a call at 549-2937. Then later, growing the Jacksonville logistics market in our global economy. We'll tell you about a special event. Plus, don't miss the live in-studio performance of some traditional Irish music for this month's Root Ball. That's going to be so much fun. Stick around for that. All of that ahead this morning. But first this hour, March 8th, today, marks International Women's Day, a day set aside to celebrate women's achievements throughout history and across nations. Of course, in our current Me Too, Time's Up era, with strong movements pushing for equality here and worldwide, the day takes on an added context. Here in Jacksonville as well, there's a lot to discuss when it comes to the celebration and actually how far we still have to go when it comes to the issues of women's equality. Christian Keene is the executive director of Rethreaded, the local nonprofit that works to pull women out of sex trafficking. On International Women's Day, she has a lot to share with us, and she joins us now here in Studio 5. Christian Keene, always a pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning.
And here's our question to callers as we mark International Women's Day and look at the status of women around the world. What are your thoughts and comments? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online, send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, tweets to @MelissaInJax. And we welcome your comments on our First Coast Connect Facebook page, too. And you know, this is a day that's been celebrated every March 8th for some time now, but this year, March 8th, 2018, there's a lot of interesting discussion about this celebration because, of course, we've seen over the last year or so this incredible movement to combat sexual abuse and assault in the workplace in particular, Kristen. This is something I know you have a lot to say about because your nonprofit, Rethreaded, has gained national attention for its groundbreaking model to help women who've been trafficked build new lives for themselves. So as we talk about International Women's Day, how do you see your work fitting into this? And what are your thoughts about what we've been watching unfold really all over the last year?
It's actually been a little surreal to watch because I think as I watch our nation wake up and I watch these brave women come forward, like, it also continues to awaken deep in me, my voice, and keeps igniting in me my passion to see women have a voice and be able to say, and to have the voice to say, this is wrong, this happened to me, and this is wrong, and have people support them instead of shame them for it.
That was the big change.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, when women came forward, not only were they believed instead of, you know, sort of shamed and gaslighted, they were believed. People actually took steps to make changes in different workplaces and to hold accountable the people that were being abusive.
Yeah, and take down power. I mean, it was just amazing. When I think of Henry Weinstein, I mean, just the fact that that is broken away and that power is being taken away is just, I mean, it's amazing when I think about how many women he affected and how many lives he controlled, and now that's being broken apart. I mean, it is so liberating.
Liberation is your mission with Rethreaded. Mm-hmm. Now, this nonprofit is so incredible. You've hit upon this really cool business model, and your tagline is Sewing a New Story, where you take women who've been trafficked and who've been victimized, and they take old materials, like old T-shirts, even old seat covers from Southwest Airlines and other old materials, and then they recreate them into beautiful new things that you sell. And then some of those profits go back into helping more women build new lives for themselves. Pretty cool. And you just had a big event around this, too.
Yeah, it's been, I believe that business has the power. It's the biggest change agent in the world. because everyone has to work, everyone has to make a living, and you can use your business for extreme good, or you can use your business can also do extreme bad, as we've
right.
seen. And
it's a tool. You can turn it one way or the other.
Yes, and you can misuse your power, or you can use your power to empower. And we see women, if they're given our women, if we put them on a career path within ReThreaded, so it can be outside of production and marketing, if we put them there and give them the tools and the confidence, we see women come alive. And just kind of like how the power is broken over Henry Weinstein, we see kind of the power broken over our women, and they can become who they're created to be.
We'll go to your calls for Kristen Keene in a moment as we mark International Women's Day. 549-2937 to join us. And on this day, it might be a good idea to go to rethreadedinc.com and buy something for your mom, your sister, your daughter. This is one way to celebrate the day. Now, let's talk about International Women's Day by the numbers. I pulled these for you, Kristen. The number of women as heads of government and heads of state around the world, 17, up from 8 in 2005. Just 17. The number of women who die each day of complications from pregnancy, according to the World Health Organization, 830 women a day. Still just a completely unacceptable figure. And, you know, some of the World Health goals that all of the brightest minds in the world are looking at, you know, their big push is to eliminate poverty and also to make the 21st century one where gender equality becomes reality. And that's a figure that's part of this. This is something that's so preventable. 106, that's the number of women in the U.S. Congress. 106. So about 20%. About 20%. You're shaking your head.
I know.
Yeah, you're shaking your head. These aren't good numbers. The number of women, or the percentage of women worldwide, who've experienced physical or sexual violence in their lifetime. The World Health Organization estimates that is 33% of women worldwide. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably a really low estimate. But how about this? Here's a good number. The percentage of U.S. bachelor degrees awarded to women in 2016, 57%. Women now are outpacing men, actually, in education, which isn't good for men. We need men to there are problems on the guy's side in terms of jobs and education. And we talk about that a lot on this program. But today we're talking about International Women's Day. And so the good news is more and more women are getting an education. What do you think about that?
I think it's amazing. I was actually thinking about this morning. And I remember my mom, when my parents got divorced, I was like 12 or 13, and my mom actually went back to college and got her degree. So I remember her watching her sitting at the dining room table studying as she's going through this divorce, and she was the first one in her family to graduate. And I think about how my mom kind of even paved the way for me. I didn't even know it at the time, but was paving and modeling for me the importance of education. So I love that women have started to pave the way for each other. And like, it's okay to be smart and go to school and get educated and, yeah, be that person. It's awesome.
Let's go to some calls now for Kristen Keene. She heads a local nonprofit, ReThreaded. What are your thoughts about International Women's Day? 549-2937 to join the show. Lindsay is in East Arlington. Hey, Lindsay, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to let Kristen know. She met our daughter, my wife Carol and I, she met her daughter when she was in one of the Miss America teen pageants, and she had taken human trafficking as a platform in that process. And over the years, I just wanted to, again, let Kristen know that she was a big influence on her, because now she is pursuing a healthcare administration degree at UNF and is looking forward to now doing her second summer in Haiti, doing mission work down there, and is wanting to pursue that as a possible career right out of school. So, again, I just wanted to make sure you knew that you're having an effect here locally as well as globally.
Well, that's nice to hear. How about that? Thanks, Lindsay.
It's amazing. But I think that's what women, we do for each other. I mean, I don't know why I'm getting emotional. But
yeah, that's very moving, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what we do for each other. We model the way. It's awesome.
And you're very moved by that, I can see, because this is the work that you've done with ReThreaded over the years is so personal for you. And I know, how many years now have you been doing this?
This is our seventh year.
Seventh year. You started very small.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really grown over the years. Just a few months ago, I came over to your warehouse. It's just west of downtown. And you had announced a big new partnership with Southwest Airlines. You're taking their old materials and upcycling them. So look at the strides you've made over the years. That's pretty incredible.
It's hard to rein in. Like we hit $1 million in revenue last year, and we were looking at stats, and only 2% of all women-owned businesses hit over $1 million. I mean, it is awesome. I hope that other women, like I know Lindsay's daughter, will follow and believe that they can. Yeah.
What inspired you to start ReThreaded? How did this idea come to you?
It came through I think a lot of people who start stuff, it came from something you struggled with and you overcome. So I struggled knowing with my worth and my value, and I just want women to know that. To know that they're capable, to know that they're enough, they're not too much, that they can set a dream out and go and do it. That's the whole point of ReThreaded, really. Mm-hmm. It's the whole point of the business. It's the whole point of everything we do, to give mm-hmm. women a pathway.
And the women that you've brought into this business, tell me a little bit about some of them and what they're doing now and how they've progressed.
A majority of our, 100% of our women, the most common factor is severe complex trauma. So it's some of our women were in that for a year or two. Some of that were in that for 10 years, some 25 years, some their whole life. So we create a workplace environment. A majority of our women come to us in poverty, limited education, and with either a criminal background or a huge gap in their work history. Mm-hmm. So the path for them to get out of that into a viable career is almost impossible, mm-hmm. just because our system is set up, our access to mental health, the shame put on our women. So we are creating that pathway for women to, so we're putting the support system with the business to give them everything they need to move forward.
Right.
And they're amazing. Like we have our day-to-day finances are run by a survivor. Our social media is run by a survivor. Our inventory is run by a survivor. Like our business is essentially run by our employees, our survivor employees.
And when you say survivor, what you mean by that, and please correct me if I'm wrong, these are women who have survived being sexually trafficked.
Yeah.
And sometimes from a very young age,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. We had our class, the women that we started last summer, the average entry age was 13. Yeah. I mean, it's
forced into prostitution.
Yeah. At 13. Mm-hmm. And now they're a lot of them by the time they reached us are in their early 30s.
And how do they find you? How do you connect with them?
A majority of our women also are women 100% come out of addiction. That's usually what makes them vulnerable or how they deal with what they're in. So we work with different rehab facilities around the city. And then now so a lot of our women have been out a year and a half, 2 years, and they'll refer their friends to ReThreaded. And that's really the coolest part is our survivors making paths for other survivors to come in.
You have a survivor advocacy program, as you said. Not only are women getting jobs, they're getting case management, crisis counseling, all kinds of wraparound support. How does that work? Tell me more about that.
It's awesome. We have a full-time mental health counselor on staff, Erin Pruitt, who has specialized in trauma. And then most recently, we actually started a survivor mentor role because we believe that a survivor who's come out and has healing and has a new life is the most powerful. They have the education, the experience. Someone who hasn't been through it will never know. And they can build immediate trust. They can speak into a survivor's life in a way that I can't. So we value that, and we're trying to increase the survivor voice at ReThreaded. So we just hired a survivor mentor, Jen Martin, who is transitioning into that new role over the next 3 months. So we're very excited.
We'll go back to your calls for Kristen Keene of Rethreaded in a moment. She is here talking about International Women's Day. It's 549-2937 to join us. And a minute ago, I talked about some numbers and how more women than men now are being awarded bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, doctorates in this country. And of course, this is a day where we're talking about women. But here is an email from Paul. And he's forwarded to me a link to an article. And the headline reads, "Has the left's toxic masculinity label, is it to blame for the male crisis in this country? What is happening to our men?" Now, I guess you can't talk about sex trafficking and the damage that that does women without talking about how these twisted and distorted ideas of what a woman is and what a man is and how we're all supposed to behave, they're damaging men too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you work with women, so it's not really, this isn't really your area, mm-hmm. but how do you see that?
Because, I mean, it's, I'll take it back to the issue that I know the most is that, I'll just take it back to the sex trafficking, that it's a us issue. And if we don't try to fight this together, then it will never get better. We believe that a woman's journey to being sold is just as broken as a man's to buying sex. And that if we don't address both of those issues together, then we all lose. So I think I see that in the way that this movement happens is that the goal of the feminist movement is not to shame men. It's to bring equality, and it's a us issue together.
Sure. And that's certainly the goal. But I think for a lot of men, maybe they're scared off or put off because they think that, you know, they see the hashtag time's up and they think, is time up on me?
And I can see that,
you know, so that I've seen a lot of that lately. What do you think about that? How do we get past that as a society?
I think that it has to do with sharing power. I think a man like Henry Weinstein refused to share power. And
Harvey Weinstein.
I mean, Harvey Weinstein. Yeah. So, and I think that if we don't learn how to share power and be secure in who we are and what we bring to the table and let and share the table with people, then it will never change. So I think it also calls men to a deeper security in who they are, to allow people to come beside them and not be threatened and be comfortable with it.
When women come to work at Rethreaded, they've been so powerless for so long.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help them regain just a sense of, agency in the world? Because they've been powerless.
And I think that's why work is so powerful. When a woman comes in and we try to find out who she is, what is she good at, and we put her in a job that makes her come alive, and all of a sudden she's doing something and she can see results, is like the first step that we see. And then pouring into that voice and continuing to build that person until they have more and more responsibility and letting them see who they're created to be. And then I think a lot of it is our women will come and they say, before I came here, women were my enemy. And now I'm in this environment where we love each other and we support each other. And I think that's a new thing for women to be, for our women, is to be for each other and to learn how to do that. And again, you have to be super secure in yourself and what you bring to the table in order to bring along the person beside you.
You talked about all of this at your recent Freedom Gala, which was March 3rd at the Glass Factory. That was a big bash. What's next for Rethreaded?
Oh, we have a list.
A big list?
Yeah. We are really trying to... We have a corporate gift line. So we have these beautiful gift boxes. So we're asking companies who are already giving their corporate gifts to give Rethreaded corporate gifts. Like, that's the cool thing about being a gift company is everyone buys gifts. So just buy your gifts from us. So we're looking to expand that. We're expanding our Southwest Leather line this summer. We are hiring 4 new ladies start in a week, which is amazing. And then we'll start another woman this summer. So we are growing. We got some land donated. We're going to have a new building. So there is a lot coming down the line.
Oh, where's that going to go?
right in the Rail Yard District. So we're staying in the same neighborhood. It's right off Myrtle and Church, right down the street from the glass factory. So we're staying in our neighborhood.
That neighborhood is really popping, isn't it?
Oh, it's so cool. We won an award. We won an award from LISC, so we're super excited.
What was the award?
It was for outstanding block development, and it's because no one knows we're there, and in the Rail Yard District, we helped generate $2.6 billion of income for the city. Mm-hmm. I mean, and no one knows we're here. So we're super excited to be part of that movement. Now they do. Rail Yard District.
Yeah, Rail Yard District. That's where ReThreaded is, and you can find them online, too, at rethreadedinc.com. Executive Director Kristen Keene, it's always good to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Melissa.
Well, much more still ahead later. Don't miss the live in-studio performance from Brendan Doherty and Philip Pan, traditional Irish music right here in studio, just in time for this month's Root Ball. We'll tell you all about it. But up next, positioning the North Florida logistics sector in the global economy. That takes center stage next week on the UNF campus. That's ahead, too. We'll be right back.
Wayne Hogan of the Terrell Hogan Personal Injury and Wrongful Death Law Firm. Injuries can happen when you least expect it. For over 40 years, our attorneys have dug out the facts to help juries decide what happened and who's at fault. More at waynehogan.law.
New Horizons, offering IT programs designed to start your career in 3 months. Federal funding may be available. More information at newhorizons-jax.com or 564-9500.
Mary, around here, men just don't make pies. Yes, my husband-to-be had committed the grievous error of showing up at the Hamilton family Thanksgiving bearing homemade apple pies.
Join us for true stories about women. That's next time on the Moth Radio Hour from PRX.
Saturdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT.
Appointment with Public Radio's favorite family doc on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health. It'll be a jam-packed hour on healthy living, including this recipe for
stars and chicken stew.
We always have a great time. So will you on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX.
Sundays at 5 on 89.9 WJCT.
I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. From the State House to the Everglades to the Panhandle, Florida has a unique story.
So join us every Friday for the Florida Roundup.
And hear from newsmakers, journalists, and Floridians from all across the state.
About the issues that matter to you.
The Florida Roundup, Fridays at 1 on WJCT.
Hi, this is Keith Marks. Join me every Thursday evening at 11 p.m. for Avant Radio, a show of curious music for curious minds. Each show is themed, curated, and contextualized to explore new music. Come get curious on Thursdays at 11 on 89.9 FM.
Welcome back. Well, logistics and leadership take center stage next week on the UNF campus. The Coggin College of Business International Business Flagship Program is holding a one-day event. It's called Value Creation in the Global Economy. And the goal here is to grow the rapidly expanding logistics market in Jacksonville. With more about that, we're pleased to welcome Andre Gallo, Director of the International Business Program at UNF's Coggin College of Business. Dr. Gallo, good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Also with us, Janice Donaldson from UNF's Small Business Development Center.
Thank you.
It's 5492937 as we talk about logistics here on the First Coast. Dr. Gallo, Let's start with you. Coggin and UNF, you want to connect with the local business community, particularly when it comes to logistics. How did this all come about?
Well, we live in a town like Jacksonville. There is we have ports, we have a lot of logistics companies, and there is a very strong development of international business. So what we want to do in the culture business to support that growth, to support that community. Because of that, we offer our students many different programs and opportunities to work in logistics, but also to study abroad, to really expand their horizons. And when they graduate from UNF, they can be ready to help companies in our community.
Janice, you also, the goal seems to be to connect business leaders with some of the logistics experts on the UNF campus. There's a flagship program on the campus for transportation and logistics, which is such a big part of Jacksonville's economy, with the port particularly, right?
Right. And there are a lot of opportunities, not just for the large logistics companies that you hear about often in the news, but also for entrepreneurs and small businesses and suppliers and in that logistics space. So in the Small Business Development Center, we deal with a lot of those small businesses and potential business owners. And they have a spot at the conference as well, with a panel on entrepreneurship and ways that they can get more involved in the global economy.
Now, give me some examples of that. What would be an example? Say someone has a small business here and they want to learn about this. What would be a way they could get more plugged into that stream, that global stream?
Yes. Well, obviously, attending the conference on March 16th would be a good start.
Sure.
But I think what's surprising is that people don't realize that the U.S. only represents about 15% of the world's purchasing power. And exporters historically grow about 15% faster and are 12% more profitable than those who don't export. But a lot of small businesses, they might have a very established and successful domestic market, but they really don't know how to get into the global economy. What countries should they focus on? How do they make their product or service acceptable in those countries? So after the conference is over, there are opportunities for them to work with the Small Business Development Center to get an export marketing plan to help them determine the best way to approach that.
And of course, your Small Business Development Center at UNF has helped a lot of people around town start,
yes,
and grow their business. I know that for a fact. Okay, so Dr. Gallo, this will be great for small business owners, great for big business. You're also looking at logistics as a market in Jacksonville and some of the challenges specific to this market. What are some of the big challenges that you see coming down the road?
Yes, well, for once, like nowadays, everybody's talking about government policies like tariffs on international trade. And those are very important aspects. And but the main challenge is how to maintain and to be competitive in our global economy. How, looking forward, companies are able to sustain that competitiveness. They're able to go out of the U.S. They're able to win markets and to be able to sell to, like Janice was saying, to a growing demand from other countries. And I think that's the main challenge. And the only way to really be able to do it is to get to know those countries, to get to know the people that are going to sell them, and to be able to explore new opportunities for your products. And what we're trying to do at UNF, and especially with this conference, is to be able to give that information and to provide a channel in which people can come and learn and discuss different strategies and to see what strategies can be successful for their own business.
How is Jacksonville well-positioned, and what are some negatives for Jacksonville?
What is well-positioned for Jacksonville is that it's very very easy to operate. Geographically, we're in an amazing position for logistics. That's why we have so many logistics companies. All the infrastructure in the port. Florida is a state with lower regulations in terms of operating your business. So that makes Jacksonville very, very attractive. One of the drawbacks of Jacksonville is that it's not very well known outside the U.S. So when you could go and talk with people in other countries, you had to explain why Jacksonville can be a potential partner for their businesses. And that's why we need to be out there and we need to help businesses to get Jacksonville known and to get their products known to people around the world.
And when we talk about logistics and logistics companies, you're talking about everything from companies that do distribution, order fulfillment, but that's just one part of it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yes, when you talk logistics, basically you talk about all the supply chain of a business that goes from the production to the transportation to the delivery to the market. I mean, everything that has to do with the different processes from the beginning to the end. And nowadays, when you talk supply chain of any product, as we know, it's very different than from many years ago. Now we have products that are at different stages of the products are made in different countries. So you're not just competing. You're collaborating with companies in other countries to be able to produce the best global products that you can.
Janice Donaldson, you would think with Jacksonville being right at the crux of I-95 and I-10 that we are perfectly geographically located to take advantage of this and grow this sector even more than we already have. Yeah?
Well, yes. I mean, we have a lot of advantages. I think it's just in part, particularly from a global viewpoint, it's just helping helping small businesses, entrepreneurs, and even medium-sized businesses get outside their comfort zone because they're very familiar with domestic and U.S. policies and doing business here and processes. So I think one of the most valuable things that can come out of participation in this conference, in addition to learning and education, is the connections that can be made because that's where you get people feeling more comfortable. They meet someone from Enterprise Florida or the U.S. Commercial Service and they go on a trade mission and they're introduced to other countries and cultures and buyers and they get more comfortable. Jax USA and the city of Jacksonville still have the Global Cities program, which they're doing mentorship and a lot of exciting things to try to help businesses say, hey, you know, I could do this and it could really help my company.
Something else I see here in the materials promoting this event, the global entrepreneurial revolution, changing all aspects of business. What does that refer to, Dr. Gallo?
Well, I think it refers on the business nowadays is not unidimensional. It's not just one product. It's when you think about businesses, you have to think about many different aspects and to approach from many different ways. And what makes it unique is that for each entrepreneur, your idea will have a unique value, and you have to be able to find a unique way to be able to sell that idea and to make it a reality. And I think it goes to that. It goes to the diversity of the world in which we live.
Okay. With all of that said, how can people be part of this event? It's coming up March 16th on the UNF campus, one day only.
Yes.
You want people to register?
Yes, of course. And to register, well, there is a website, but you can go to the UNF website and just search for the IB conference because the link is too big. But you can call, the phone number is 904-620-2916. That would be the best way to just contact us and register for that day.
It is Value Creation in the Global Economy coming up March 16th on the UNF campus. Janice Donaldson heads up UNF Small Business Development Center. Dr. Gallo with the Coggin College of Business. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you
so much.
Still to come, one of the pint-sized chefs from Master Chef Junior hails from this area. We'll talk to him. And live Irish music in studio. Keep listening for that here on the show. Back in a moment.
Wouldn't it be nice to know what's in the local daily newspaper, even if you have blindness or diminishing eyesight? WJCT's Radio Reading Service can help. You'll hear what's in the Florida Times Union every day. Articles, op-eds, obituaries, even the comics. Sign up at wjct.org/radio reading. Our thanks to Florida Eye Specialists, Delta Gamma of UNF, and the Radio Reading Service volunteer readers for giving voice to the printed word.
Just because other people don't see it, doesn't mean it's not there. My Next Snap Judgment, from WNYC, The Path. Snap Judgment, storytelling with the beat. Do not miss it.
Saturdays at 2 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
On the next Jazz Night in America, vocalist Liz Wright takes us on a road trip from Appalachia to rural Georgia.
I decided to basically encircle my own, my life, and to go into a little bit of my parents. I just kind of literally drew a route through it all.
That's next time on Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride.
Saturday nights at 8 on 89.9 WJCT. Keeps me singing in my soul.
Humorist and author Dave Barry is one of Florida's finest. The New York Times best-selling author came out recently with yet another hilarious book, Best State Ever, A Florida Man Defends His Homeland. I spoke with Barry recently about some of his wacky observations around our Sunshine State. Take a listen.
Dave Barry, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me on.
And you've spent many years defending your homeland, Florida, to much hilarity. Now you've compiled all of it in this book, and it's, I think, by turns hilarious and excruciating for Florida residents to read. But it must have been fun for you to write this and put this together. How did you draw upon the source material? Because, of course, there's no shortage of material.
Yeah, well, it started, you know, I live in Miami. I've been here 30 years, and for a long time, Miami was kind of the joke, but not so much Florida. And I was sort of used to defending Miami, even though pretty much every bad thing anybody ever says about Miami is true. And I even had bumper stickers put up once that said, come back to Miami, we weren't shooting at you. But then with the 2000 election, the whole state of Florida sort of became the butt of jokes. We were unable to figure out who we'd voted for. I don't know if you remember that night, but...
Yeah, oh yeah, I was here.
Gore was leading, and Bush was leading, and for a little while, William Shatner was in the lead. You know, it was like, we had no idea whom we'd voted for. So Florida sort of became the joke state that, from then on, really, and then this whole Florida man thing on the internet.
Yeah.
So... I decided to write a book defending the state and pointing out that a lot of yes, there's a lot of weirdness here and a lot of insane people, a lot of stupid people.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the time, anyway, they're not from here. I mean, a lot of people aren't from Florida. They come down here to commit weird acts in Walmarts and whatever. So the part of the book is that, and then part of it is a kind of a love letter to the state. I traveled around to a bunch of places, some of them pretty obscure, some of them kind of old Florida tourist attractions, but things that were really just purely Florida places and that you wouldn't find somewhere the other state, and wrote about them. And a lot of the book is that.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about everything from the skunk ape to the weeky-watchy mermaids and obviously Disney World, but some other attractions, too, that are just so kitschy and strange that you would only find here.
Yes, and I'm talking about strange, one of the stranger ones, I went to a town called Casadega, which is north central Florida, and it is one of the creepiest, weirdest places I've ever been to in my life.
Did you get a reading? I got a psychic reading there once.
It's a spiritual, they call themselves the spiritual capital of the world. Everybody there is a psychic or a medium. And I stayed at the Casadega Hotel. This was right before Halloween, which is a kind of a especially creepy time there. And went up the street and had a reading gun, and it was a bizarre experience. Partly because the woman kept looking behind me the woman, she was a medium, she said, you know, she was in touch with the dead. And, you know, we'd be sitting here in this kind of darkened living room with candles burning and New Age music playing in the background. And she'd go, "Oh, I see. Thank you." And I go, "What?" She goes, "I wasn't talking to you."
So, she was talking to someone who came through for you.
Somebody, yeah. Except that whoever it was didn't really know very much about me.
Aww.
I had a lot of trouble finding any spirits who had any real connection with me. I also got a reading done for my dog, Lucy.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't have my dog with me, but they can do a reading with... They get your dog's aura from a photograph. So I have a picture of Lucy on my phone, and they took a picture of my picture and then put it through this printer that made this like rainbow pattern, which they told me was Lucy's aura. And I didn't know Lucy had an aura. Lucy has a smell sometimes. But I never know.
Okay, so Cass
and they did this reading with, like, with Lucy, where and they said that my mother, who is deceased, came and played with Lucy every night. Which struck me as pretty funny if you knew my mom, that she would, you know, visit Florida for that purpose. But anyway, it was interesting.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you a little bit about our corner of the state, North Florida, which is very different from Miami.
Yeah, you're really more like the South than the North, aren't you?
In a lot of ways, yeah.
I mean, you're north of Florida, way north of us, but down here we have like, well, I live in Miami, which is basically Latin America. I mean, my joke is I moved here in 1986 from the United States. But then a little north of us, Fort Lauderdale, especially Boca, that area, it's, you know, everybody's from New York.
Right.
New Jersey, Long Island. And then if you go west over to Naples, everybody's from Ohio or Michigan. But when you get up toward you guys, it's the real South back up that way.
And what do you think that says about Florida?
Well, it's just that we're not one state. That is always, I think, as long as I've been here, been true. Floridians, I guess there are some older, you know, folks born and raised and whatever, who view themselves primarily as Floridians. But down here, especially, and I think much of the state, Orlando, a lot of the fast-growing areas, people live in Florida, but they don't identify as Floridians the way people from like Missouri identify as Missourians, or from Indiana identify as Indianans. I think in Florida, it's like we're here. It's a weird place. It's warm. The weather's nice sometimes, but there's a lot of strange people here, and I'm still sort of connected with where I came from.
Right. So. Yeah, there are definitely more people up here who have that sort of native Floridian identification.
Right, right. And it may be why the two ends of the state do not get along all that well. I mean, you know, politically and I guess maybe culturally. It's just like, I know that when we, from the way deep South Florida, drive all the way up there, you know, we feel like we're in a whole different world. And then, you know, for one thing, you folks are nice and polite. We're not used to that. You probably, I'm guessing you signal your turns.
Yeah, actually, most of the time. They don't do that in Miami so much, do they?
In Miami, that's viewed as a sign of weakness.
Ah, I see.
That's Dave Barry, best-selling author. In a moment, live Irish music in studio for Jacksonville's Root Ball. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Wayne Hogan of the Terrell Hogan Personal Injury and Wrongful Death Law Firm. Serious injury cases are complex, and civil trial attorneys present the evidence juries need to see and hear. More at waynehogan.law.
New Horizons, offering IT programs designed to start your career in 3 months. Federal funding may be available. More information at newhorizons-jax.com or 564-9500.
I'm Marco Werman. The world is all about the connections between life in America and life way beyond our borders.
America united people of different languages and different races, different religions, who had nothing in common under the idea of America. It's one of the most sort of great contemporary projects of creating a new identity. So think of Ukraine that way.
Lots to think about on The World this afternoon at 3 on 89.9 WJCT.
On the next Fresh Air, we remember comic and comedy club founder Barry Crimmins. He died last week at the age of 64. He was sexually abused as a child and became an activist trying to stop pedophiles operating on the internet. We'll listen back to our 2015 interview with Crimmins and his friend, comic Bobcat Goldthwaite, who directed a documentary about Crimmins. Join us weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Spring training is underway with no women in the major leagues. But some say it's time for a changeup. Unlike other countries, the U.S. rarely offers women's baseball in high school. But more women and girls are pushing back, saying softball just isn't good enough. Is it time for the major leagues to let everyone play ball? Next time on 1A.
Weekdays at 11 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, the pint-sized chefs are back. Fox's hit reality TV competition MasterChef Junior is back on tomorrow night, and they've narrowed down the field of young culinary wizards to 24 finalists. The kids range in age from 8 to 13, and they're competing for the title of Season 6 champion and, of course, a $100,000 cash prize. Guess what? One of those finalists is 13-year-old Kamson Alavi of Fleming Island. I talked to him about the big show.
On the next episode, I think you'll see some more elevated cooking instead of just cooking some chicken. You'll see some new kind of dish ideas.
All right. And tell me, too, what the hosts are like, the judges, especially Gordon Ramsay. What's he like?
I think Gordon is kind of a bit different than you would expect.
Oh, really?
Obviously, he's just Gordon, as always. He has really high expectations for us, but he also kind of shows his dad side that you get to see on his other shows, so he's a bit more gentle with us.
Good luck, Kamson. That show airs tomorrow. And finally, this hour, you can go Irish for a day, green all year, at Greenscape of Jacksonville's Root Ball. It's coming up next weekend at the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens, a Celtic Bash featuring live Irish music. Now, this all benefits Greenscape of Jacksonville. Here with more Greenscape's Anna Dooley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Committee member Robin Patton helping to put together the Root Ball. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And in a moment, we're going to welcome Irish singer-songwriter Brendan Doherty and fiddler Philip Pan, former concertmaster for the symphony. Thank you very much. Now, Anna, they're going to be performing at the Root Ball. So some Celtic Irish music at this thing. It sounds amazing.
I think it's Celtic with a twist now.
Oh, okay.
I mean, after all, what a duo we've got. We are thrilled that they are going to be our main entertainment.
Yes. And Robin Patton, the theme for this is Irish for a day, green all year, because if you come out to the Root Ball, you're helping Greenscape replace trees around town, particularly those lost during Hurricane Irma. Yeah?
Yes.
Wait, that's right. And Robin has been so instrumental. She represents the Late Bloomers Garden Club, which is more than a garden club. It's a group of really active women involved in so many areas in Jacksonville.
I love that name, Late Bloomers Garden Club. It's a great name in more ways than one. Well, this is coming up, as I said, Saturday, March 17th at the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens, the Root Ball, which is a great name. You want people to wear green, don't you?
Oh, very
for St. Patty's
so.
Day.
And you don't have to wear a ball gown. It's not that kind of a ball. It's green casual. And we're going to have a great deal of fun. We still have some tickets available, so contact Greenscape.
Okay, go to Greenscape's website or 904-TIX to get your tickets to the Root Ball. And now, as promised, it's a special treat. Singer-songwriter Brendan Doherty and fiddler Philip Pan, former concertmaster for the Jacksonville Symphony. They'll be performing at this big bash, but they're going to perform for us right now. A little Celtic music, everybody. Let's listen.
It all around me, taste it in the air, from way down deep in inside me. I know that it's just there. The sunlight on a flower, a whisper in the trees, an echo through the valley. Wherever I may be, it feels like home. It feels like home. It feels like home to me.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.